Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you on this Friday, March 4th, as we welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have a reading for us, Leanne McMillan. Leanne, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to you reading and sharing a time at the end of the podcast where we talk about things of life and faith.
Thank you for having me. I'm reading from the NIV, Genesis 47, 1 through 19. Joseph went and told Pharaoh, "My father and brothers, with their flocks and herds and everything they own, have come from the land of Canaan and are now in Goshen." He chose five of his brothers and presented them before Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked his brothers, "What is your occupation?" "Your servants are shepherds," they replied to Pharaoh, "just as our fathers were." They also said to him, "We have come to live here for a while, because the famine is severe in Canaan, and your servants' flocks have no pasture. So now, please let your servants settle in Goshen." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you, and the land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen. And you know, if of any of you among them with a special ability, put them in charge of my own livestock." Then Joseph brought his father, Jacob, in and presented him to Pharaoh. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked him, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult, and they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers." Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt and gave them property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramses, as Pharaoh directed. Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to the number of their children. Joseph and the famine. There was no food, however, in the whole region because the famine was so severe. Both Egypt and Canaan wasted away because of the famine. Joseph collected all the money that was to be found in Egypt and Canaan in payment for the grain they were buying, and he brought it into Pharaoh's palace. When the money of the people of Egypt and Canaan was all gone, all Egypt came to Joseph and said, "Give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is all gone." "Then bring your livestock," said Joseph, "and I will sell you food in exchange for your livestock, since your money is gone." So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and he gave them food in exchange for their horses, their sheep and goats, their cattle and donkeys. And he brought them through that year with food in exchange for all their livestock. When that year was over, they came to him the following year and said, "We cannot hide from our Lord the fact that since our money is gone, our livestock belongs to you. There is nothing left for our Lord except our bodies and our land. Why should we perish before your eyes? We and our land as well. Buy us and our land in exchange for food, and we, with our land, will be in bondage to Pharaoh. Give us seed so that we may live and not die, and that the land may not become desolate." Psalm 76. A call for God to punish evildoers. Even people's angry revolts will be used by God to bring glory to himself. For the director of music, with stringed instruments, a psalm of Asaph, a song. God is renowned in Judah. In Israel, his name is great. His tent is in Salem, his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the flashing arrows, the shields and the swords and the weapons of war. You are radiant with light, more majestic than mountains rich with game. The valiant lie plundered. They sleep their last sleep. No one of the warriors can lift his hands. At your rebuke, God of Jacob, both horse and chariot lie still. It is you alone who are to be feared. Who can stand before you when you are angry? From heaven you pronounced judgment, and the land feared and was quiet, when you, God, rose up to judge, to save all the afflicted of the land. Surely your wrath against mankind brings you praise, and the survivors of your wrath are restrained. Make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. Let all the neighboring lands bring gifts to the one to be feared. He breaks the spirit of rulers. He is feared by the kings of the earth. Now we're reading in John, 11th chapter, 45 through the end of the chapter. Religious leaders plot to kill Jesus. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. Here is this man performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation. Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish. He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. And not only for the nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and to make them one. So from that day on, they went plotting to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the people of Judea. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the wilderness, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple courts, they asked one another, "What do you think? Isn't he coming to the festival at all?" But the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who found out where Jesus was should report it, so they might arrest him.
Thank you so much, Leanne, for joining the podcast today. I'm grateful for your friendship and also for you reading. I want to hear a little bit about your faith journey.
Well, I was born into a Christian home. My parents struggled to have children. They were married 7 years and told they wouldn't have children. And so after prayer and no medical help, they were able to have my sister and I. And so I'm grateful for that love and being able to grow up in a church and grow up with Christian parents. It was definitely a blessing to me. Now, I will tell you, we moved around growing up. My dad was an engineer, and so we would move frequently. So I was born in North Carolina, and my sister, Oklahoma, and then we moved to London, England 8 years, and then Norway for a year. So as we moved and transitioned, we would always find a church. And so that was just huge for me growing up, being grounded in a church with every move. Because as you move, you're making new friends. It's not easy. And so that was a good way for me to be taught how church was important. I was involved in our youth group, mission trips, Young Life. And so that was just such a blessing to me growing up in my teenage years.
Tell me a little bit about your family.
I'm married to Sean. We've been married 25 years. And we have three daughters. Emma is 19, and she's at the College of Charleston studying health science. And then we have Kate, who's 17, and she's at Mountain Brook High School. And Grace is 10, and she's at Mountain Brook Elementary.
How did you meet Sean?
We were in Charleston together. I'm at the College of Charleston, and he went to the Citadel. So we met there among friends.
Oh, I didn't realize he went to the Citadel. And now I guess Emma is following in your footsteps.
She sure is. And Sean's family lives there, so it's good for her to have family close as well.
Leanne, I am very interested in your work. Will you tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got into the work that you do?
Well, I work for a company, a nonprofit, Alabama Game Changers. And so I got into that as I moved here 6 years ago. Our pediatrician started this nonprofit. She knew I was trained in Orton-Gillingham, which is a technique to work with dyslexics. Dyslexics struggle to put the sounds and the symbols together. And so this type of teaching, Orton-Gillingham allows them to do that. So I started to work for her and test for dyslexia. And I've been doing that for 6 years. And then her clinic opened up right within the pandemic, actually, 2020. It was absolutely a God thing that money was still there to open up in the middle of this. And so the clinic's been running about a year and a half now. And so it's a clinic opened for the whole child. There's OT for those that need gross motor work or fine motor with their handwriting. They have a psychologist there to work with these kids. Of course, the doctors. And so it's for the whole child. And of course, the reading to learn as well. So it's a whole child approach for these kids.
And so what are some of the warning signs for dyslexia? If someone's listening and think, okay, my child might have this, tell us a little bit more.
they struggle with rhyming words, and they're going to struggle with just reading typically. Now, some can be readers, but then maybe their memory, short-term memory could be. So to be honest with you, there's not a way I can say unless they are tested. I think it's the screening is huge. So if you're seeing some signs or struggling, their self-confidence is not so, they're not feeling very good about reading or struggling in school, I would encourage them to get tested and to see what you're dealing with as far as if they show the signs for dyslexia.
So they might start by reaching out to you, and they can certainly give them their, reach out to me. Mm-hmm. Or looking for Alabama Game Changers.
Right. And also know that three of my children have dyslexia. And so even as I've been in this in my entire life, I didn't see it in my youngest until I tested her. And I was completely looking at this. And so I just don't know. Until you test the child, you just don't know.
Leanne, I want to talk a little bit about prayer. I've always appreciated when you would say to me, Mary, I'm praying for you. It has meant so much. And in conversations about prayer, I feel like you have a deep prayer life. And I just want to hear a little bit about how the Lord has taught you over the years to turn to prayer.
I think becoming a mom certainly encourages me to pray more. There's a lot to worry about as a mom. And so I think that makes us turn to our knees and turn us to prayer. And so I used to feel anxiety. And so now I feel just, I'm going to pray. Instead of when I get this worry brain or I get worried about something or I feel anxious about something, I just try to turn it and immediately go to God with it. And I do feel a peace when I do that. And at least I know it's been prayed over and I can face. And as I go through my day, as people pop in my head or driving by something, I see something, whatever, as you're going in and out of your daily life, and especially the kids that I work with, you can be praying as you breathe. That's what it says in the Bible, right? To pray and breathe. So as you are going about your day, you can be in prayer and just know that God is in it.
Do you have a favorite Bible verse?
I have several, but I want to share my favorites. It's trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And that's from Proverbs 3, the fifth verse there. And I just love that. I pray that a lot. And then another one that's close to my heart is in Psalm 27, verse 13. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. And so this just teaches me that we're going to see God's goodness now, even in this broken world, with wars going on and just all that, you know, can be heavy and weighing, that we're going to look for this. We're going to see the goodness, just like Joseph did.
Would you like to make any comment about the scriptures that you read today?
I do. I love the story of Joseph because he doesn't give up. He just, in all this adversity, and I can't imagine going through what he did, but yet remaining strong in the Lord. You know, and then God gives him the gift and he uses it and eventually gets him to a better place. I can't imagine how long to endure what he had to endure. And then how God's hand was in it and that he was saved so many people from the famine by Joseph. So I love that story. God takes care of his people.
With that, Leanne, I want to ask you, if you don't mind, would you end our time together with prayer?
Certainly. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of your scripture and how we can see you working through it, dear Lord, and how we can apply it to our life, Father, and that we can have it daily to look to and turn to. We just pray the scripture would change our hearts into the people you created us to be. And we ask that we would give you glory, Lord, for what it is you have planned for each one of us. We pray for our church and that we would be obedient and faithful to you, dear Lord. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen.